WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Bob Dorough, the jazz composer, pianist, and singer best known for educating a generation of American kids with his entertaining songs, died Monday at his home in Mount Bethel, Pennsylvania. He was 94. Dorough was a musical director for Schoolhouse Rock, a series of clever animated music videos that taught kids about grammar, math, and history. They were broadcast in between Saturday morning cartoons from 1973 to 85. Dorough wrote and sang many of the songs.
Now everybody try to find a good hiding place. This old tree is gonna be the base. I'm gonna close my eyes and hide my face and count to 100 by fives. Ready? Go. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, 65, 70, 75, 80, 85, 90, 95, 100, ready or not, here I come. Apple, peaches, pumpkin pie. Who's not ready? Holler I. Oh, all right, I'll count it again, but you better get hit, kid. Here we go. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, 65, 70, 75, 80, 85, 90, 95, 100, 101, 105, 110, 115, 120. There. A bushel of wheat and a bushel of rye. Who's not hit? Holler I. 20 nickels makes a dollar. I didn't hear anybody holler. 5 times 20 is 100. Everybody got to be hit. All eyes open. Here I come. Multiplying by five is a little like counting by five. In fact, if you counted along on your fingers...
Dorough grew up in Texas and got his early musical training in an army band in World War II. He went to New York and began an eclectic career that included collaborations with Miles Davis, Dave Frischberg, Hoagie Carmichael, The Fugs, and Art Garfunkel. We're going to listen to parts of two appearances by Dorough on Fresh Air. First, we'll hear him speaking with Terry and performing in our studio in 1982, when Fresh Air was a live local radio show in Philadelphia.
Yeah, baby, you want some sounds? I like them sounds. Well, I'm hip, I'm no square. I'm alert, I'm awake, I'm aware. I am always on the scene, making the rounds, digging the sounds. I read Playboy magazine, I'm so hip. Well, I'm dig, I'm in step. When it was hip to be hip, I was hip. I don't blow, but I'm a fan. Look at me swing, ring-a-ding-ding, yeah. I even call my girlfriend, man, I'm so hip. Now every Saturday night, with my suit buttoned tight and my suede zone, I'm getting my kicks, digging those arty French flicks with my shades on. Woo, 'cause I'm too much, I'm a gas. I am anything but middle class. When I hang around the band, I'm popping my thumbs, digging the drums. Well, the squares don't seem to understand why I flip. They're not hip like I'm hip. Well, I'm a hip, I'm alive. I enjoy any joint where there's jive. I'm on top of every trend. Look at me go, vo-de-o-do. Bobby Dylan, he knows my friend. We're so hip, hanging out in Malibu. Well, I'm hip, but not weird. Like you notice, I don't wear a beard. Beards wear in, but now they're out. They had their day, now they're passé. Just ask me if you in doubt, 'cause I'm a hip. Now I'm deep, deep into Zen. Meditation and macrobiotics. And just as soon as I can, I intend to get into narcotics. I gotta try some of that stuff. 'Cause I'm cool, cool as a cuke. I'm a cart, I'm a cat, I'm a kook. I get so much out of life. Really, I do, Scooby-Doo-Boo. One more time, play Mac the Knife. Let her rip. I may flip, but I'm hip.
I really love that tune.
It's not the real me, you know.
Do you know a lot of people who are like that, who are trying to out-hip the musicians and try to out-hip everyone else at the club?
Sure, out in the audience, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And
they're the ones that come up and say, you know, let's play Mac the Knife.
That's your big hit song. Last week I was in New York and I heard Blossom Dearie sing it. Well, Dave Frischberg, the co-author of it, has a recording of it. Mm-hmm. There's an instrumental version with Ed Bickert of it. I don't know if you've heard that one.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we'll play it for you after the show.
Oh, great. Well, you know, when Dave gave me the lyric, he said, oh, this is nothing. It's just an old lyric. I don't think it'll make a song. And, of course, I was very enthused. I said, oh, this is great. Let me take it home. I came back 2 days later with that melody or non-melody. But actually, we both thought, you know, it's a very topical, the jokes will get old and it'll never go much further than 2 or 3 years.
Nah.
And I guess I was the first to record it, and Blossom was the second, and Dave was the third. But it seems to be getting bigger and bigger. Everybody wants a copy, and I guess there's nothing like an old joke if you tell it right, huh?
Well, it's a great tune. Can you do another one of your familiar tunes for us?
How about the love song I like so much? But for now.
Let's hear it.
This is for one of those marriages that, you know, get off to a sudden start where the two victims hardly know each other. I actually wrote it for my wife. And we've done quite well. We're still together after 20, who counts, several years. But this was written for Corrine. It's called But For Now. Sure, I know you'd like to have me talk about my future. And a million words or so to fill you in about my past. Have I sisters or a brother? When's my birthday? How's my mother? Well, my dear, in time I'll answer all those things you ask. But for now, let me say, I love you. Nothing more seems important somehow. And tomorrow can wait, come whatever. Let me love you forever, but right now. Some fine day when we go walking, we'll take time for idle talking, sharing every secret as we watch each other smile. I'll hold your hand, you'll hold my hand. We'll say things we never had planned, and we'll get to know each other in a little while. But for now, let me say I love you. Later on, there'll be time for so much more. But for now, meaning now and forever, let me kiss you, my darling, then once more, once more. For now, I'll just say I love you. Later on, I must know much more of you. But for now, here and now, how I love you as you are in my arms, how I love you.
That's a really beautiful song.
Thank you.
We're listening back to a performance recorded in 1982 by jazz pianist, singer, and songwriter Bob Durow, who died on Monday at the age of 94. His late wife, Corrine, for whom he wrote the song we just heard, died in 1986. Bob Durow remarried and is survived by his wife, Sally Shanley. We send our condolences to his family and friends.
When you write, what comes first for you, the music or the lyrics?
Well, I've had the experience, the pleasure, I might say, of functioning as a lyricist for other people and also functioning as a composer for lyricists. So when that happens, they tend to come simultaneously.
Well, when you get somebody else's lyrics, how do you write the music around it?
Well, I just put the lyric up on the piano and it just rolls out. That's easy. I've had the pleasure of writing with Fran Landesman a number of times, and her lyrics are actually song lyrics. Some lyric writers are maybe poets or dreamers, but they don't know much about the structure. Her lyrics are always songs. They really are. I mean, she just has that knack. She's written a great deal, you know, with Tommy Wolfe before I met her. So I put her lyric on the piano, and it just practically pours out. I think my favorite right now is Nothing Like You. That's the one that I recorded with Miles once. And it's on my live album. But Here Like I'm Hip, I think this is going to be eventually a hit. It'll take a while, but a lot of musicians around the country have asked me for lead sheets because they know it from it having been on the Sorcerer album. And it's called Nothing Like You Has Ever Been Seen Before. And then, parentheses, An Extravagant Love Song. Lyrics by Fran Landesman.
That's Bob Durow. Here's his 1962 recording of Nothing Like You on the Miles Davis album Sorcerer.
Nothing like you has ever been seen before. Nothing like you existed in days of yore. Never were lips so kissable. Never were eyes so bright. I can't believe it's possible that you bring me such delight. Nothing can match the rapture of your embrace. Nothing can catch the magic that's in your face. You're like a dream come true, something completely new. Nothing like you has ever been seen before. Nothing like you, nothing like you has ever been mine before. Kisses I've known, but none so divine before. No one has your magnificence. Who can describe your charms? I'd like to make my residence forever in your arms. I never knew how wonderful life could be. No one but you could ever do this to me. Call me a fool in love. One thing I'm certain of, nothing like you has ever been seen before. Nothing like you, nothing like you, nothing like you has ever been seen before. You're like a dream come true.
Bob, how did you develop your singing style? How did you know, for instance, that you weren't a blues shouter or someone who could really belt out a song?
Well, I knew that because I don't have a loud voice, I don't think. Think of the blues shouters as all being, the guys that came up from the field holler. You know what a field holler is, right? That's someone that can yell across 3 acres and say, "Dinner's ready!" Or coming, or bring in those cows or something like that. And that's how the blues were born. I mean, a field shout. But I think probably when I heard Nat King Cole or someone singing along at the piano, like Nat's early style before he became a stand-up romantic balladeer, I thought, well, that's my style of singing, where you just sort of get a nice little tempo and you say, scat-a-doo-ba-doo, like that style. Although I was influenced by Louis Armstrong, but he's not exactly what you would call a blues shouter either.
You play a lot of your own tunes, but you also play tunes by other composers. When you're adding someone's tune, a song that was written by somebody else, what do you look for in it before deciding to add it to your repertoire?
The lyric is the first thing that gets me. It has to appeal to my, subconscious tastes. A lot of pop songs I want to sing, but I never sing them until they're dead. When Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head came out, I thought, oh, that's a great song. But everybody was singing it in every bar and every corner. And so I just laid back about 3 years, and then I learned it, or I put it in my repertoire. I sing it on rainy nights. If you ever walk in out of the rain to hear me playing somewhere, it's a groovy kind of song. But when they're popular, you can't. There's so many people pawing over the song, as it were. It's hard to get a new approach.
Yeah, popular songs go through periods where they sound like real cliches, and then right. You let them sit for a while.
And say, hey, that's
freshen
not
up
bad.
Again.
Yeah, sometimes I fall in love with a song years later. But I essentially fall in love with songs I want to sing. I always try to add something of my own. I never attempt to, duplicate someone's performance. I have to re-ingest it and all that, recreate it.
Can you do another one of your songs for us?
Sure. This is sort of this is not my lyric, however. I'm going to have to make it mine to ever get anywhere. This is a sort of a dichotomy, it's called. I think the lady who gave me this lyric is a mad woman of Cincinnati, I call her. And, she figures it's my personality. It's true. It's someone who, is on either side of every question. I can see both views. Her title is Dichotomy. I live with a positive, negative attitude, so nothing really bad ever happens to me. I take the optimistic, pessimistic outlook. It's a downright upright dichotomy. I wait for the worst, expect the baddest, so nothing's ever half as bad as that is. I bet on the absolutely abysmal, and life gets drab, but never quite that dismal. So my lows are kinda high, and my downs are uppercase, and I frown a happy smile on my lucky hard-luck face, and I just try to keep on moving. I won't stop, I'll keep on grooving till I drop with my positive-negative attitude. With a positive, negative attitude, subscribes to the pessimistic, optimist view. Well, I give myself plenty of longitudinal latitude, with an inside-outside chance I'll make it through. I wait for the worst, expect the baddest, so nothing's ever half as bad as that is. Yeah, I bet on the absolutely abysmal, so life gets drab, but never quite that dismal. So I'm good at being bad, and I'm slowly living fast, and gloom just makes me glad I've got a future in my past. And I'll just try to keep on grooving. I won't stop, I'll keep on moving till I drop with my positive negative attitude. With my positive negative. I drop with my positive negative attitude. I won't stop with my positive negative attitude.
That's Bob Durrow, recorded in the Fresh Air Studios in 1982. We're remembering jazz pianist, singer, and composer Bob Durrow, who died on Monday at the age of 94. He was probably most widely known for the hip, fun songs he wrote for Schoolhouse Rock, the Saturday morning cartoon series that taught kids about grammar, math, and history. The kids watching Schoolhouse Rock may not have known what a great offbeat jazz singer and writer Bob Durrow was, but his songs stuck in the minds of many rock musicians who grew up watching the series, like those in the bands The Lemonheads and Blind Melon. They covered his songs on the album Schoolhouse Rocks. That album was the occasion for Durrow's 1996 visit to Fresh Air. He told Terry how the animated series Schoolhouse Rock came about.
Well, let's see. I had met the advertising people who concocted the idea. And my partner, Ben Tucker, in fact, wanted us to write a little advertising music. He's a bass player, Ben Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
So one day, this gentleman from McCaffrey and McCall Ad Agency said, "We're looking for a guy to put the multiplication tables to music, and Ben Tucker said, "My partner Bob Duro can do anything. He can put music to anything. Well, let's have him up." So I went up to meet the president of the agency, and it was his idea, and his name was David B. McCall of McCaffrey and McCall. He said, "My little boy can, you know, sing along with Jimi Hendrix and the Rolling Stones, but he can't memorize his multiplication tables." So I had the idea, why not put the multiplication tables to rock music and call it Multiplication Rock? What do you think? And I said, "Well, yeah, that's pretty interesting." And he said, "Well, but don't write down to the kids." Well, I learned later that he had invited other Broadway songwriters to do this task, and they came up with a more simple, doggerel type of songwriting, writing down, as it were, to children.
So when he said, "So what do you think?" What did you really think?
I thought, well, yeah, this this could be, you know, a limited idea. But when he added, "Don't write down to children," the hackles on my neck arose, and I got quite intrigued. And so I agreed to tackle it, and I spent about 3 weeks before I would let myself write the first song. I thought first, looked in math books, and since I picked my first title, it was called Three is a Magic Number, I even looked in magic and occult books for the reasons that three might be a magic number.
Did you get anything from those books that
I
you
did,
used
indeed.
In the song? What'd you get?
Mm-hmm. Well, that it was one of the magic numbers, and that it was, embodied in certain things like the Trinity, the old sayings, the heart and the brain and the body, faith, hope, and charity, trinities of sorts. So I got mainly that, trinities. And, of course, I also was an admirer of Buckminster Fuller, so I was thinking of his triangle concept that makes construction so strong.
Well, why don't we pause here and listen to your version, the original version of Three is a Magic Number. Now, did you sing on this one?
Yes.
Okay, why don't we hear it?
Three is a magic number. Yes, it is. It's a magic number. Somewhere in the ancient mystic trinity, you get three as a magic number. The past and the present and the future, faith and hope and charity, the heart and the brain and the body give you three as a magic number.
Why don't we hear the Blind Melon version of Three is a Magic Number that's included on the new CD Schoolhouse Rock Rocks.
Three, oh, it's the magic number. Yeah, it is. It's the magic number. Somewhere in that ancient mystic trinity, you'll get three. Magic number in the past and the present and the future, faith and hope and charity in the heart and the brain and the body. You'll give you three. It's a magic number. It takes three legs to make a tripod or to make a table stand, and it takes three wheels to make a vehicle called the tricycle.
Yeah.
And every triangle has three corners. Every triangle has three sides. No more.
Now, when the advertising executives ask you to set the multiplication tables to music, had they already known they could broadcast it on ABC TV?
No, they were thinking of a phonograph recording and a book. The idea of television wasn't remotely in their heads.
So how did it get on TV?
Well, after some time of testing the songs and having the product called Multiplication Rock, they didn't seem to be getting anywhere in the book publishing world, so one of the executives up at McCaffrey and McCall said, "You know, one of our clients is ABC Television. I mean, we do their advertising. Why don't we present it to them?" And so Mr. Tom Yoey animated it. They did it at their own expense. It's very expensive to animate a 3-minute song. And they presented it as an animation film to ABC, at which point suddenly we were in that business instead of the book business.
Why don't I play Conjunction Junction? Tell me about writing this song. Do you remember?
Well, I must say that my pal, George Newell, he's a musician as well as an art advertising director. He's one of the executives. George Newell gave me the title. We were starting Grammar Rock, and Miss Lynn Ahrens, who's also distinguished herself writing songs for Schoolhouse Rock, she started out the grammar series. I was still busy with multiplication songs, and she did a noun as a person, place, or thing, and that was great. But George Newell one day to me said, why don't you tackle this conjunctions? I said, conjunctions? Yeah, those little words. He said, I got an idea for a title, Conjunction Junction. I said, great, I'll take it. So I went home and figured out it was sort of a railroad song, hooking up things like the railroad cars. And I made the song, and we went out to Hollywood to record it, and Dave Frischberg had just written his first song for America Rock at the same time, I'm Just a Bill. So we had a super session in L.A. with Jack Sheldon singing those two songs and me conducting the band and Frischberg playing piano. And we had an all-star jazz band in Hollywood playing Conjunction Junction and I'm Just a Bill. Very exciting.
Hooking up words and phrases and clauses.
Conjunction, junction, how's that function?
I got 3 favorite cars that get most of my job done.
Conjunction, junction, what's their function?
I got and, but, and, or, they'll get you pretty far. And, that's an additive, like this and that. But, that's sort of the opposite, not this, but that. And then there's or, O-R, when you have a choice like this or that. And but and or get you pretty far.
Conjunction, junction, what's your function?
Hooking up 2 boxcars and making them run right. Milk and honey, bread and butter, peas and rice.
Hey, that's nice.
Dirty but happy, digging and scratching, losing your shoe and a button or 2. He's poor but honest, sad but true. Boo!
Conjunction, junction, what's your function?
Hooking up 2 cars to 1 when you say something like this. Choice, either now or later, or no choice. Neither now nor ever.
Hey, that's clever.
Eat this or that, the growth in or fat. Never mind, I wouldn't do that, I'm fat enough now.
Conjunction, junction, what's your function?
Hooking up. Now, do you think most of the people who grew up listening to your songs, do you think that they have any idea that these weren't written and performed by people in advertising agencies or theme houses, that they were written by you, an interesting and eccentric jazz performer, and that the other songs, some of the other songs on here, are sung by interesting and eccentric jazz performers?
Yes, well, I'm sure they didn't even think about such things. They grew up and they learned and they watched. They were a captive audience, one of my partners pointed out, George Newell. Because, you know, they were watching Saturday morning cartoons, and suddenly there would be this little 3-minute film, and they got hooked on them, and it actually did them some good. And as we went on in our productions, I kept bringing in some of my buddies from the jazz world. So it was a kind of a a little bit of a underground movement there.
Yeah, well, you brought in Dave Frischberg, the singer and songwriter and pianist, trumpeter and singer Jack Sheldon, singer Blossom Deary.
Yes, Grady Tate, a drummer who sings, or a singer who drums. Excuse me, Grady, I didn't mean it.
What's the difference in the kind of tune that you'd write for one of your own jazz songs and for one of the Schoolhouse Rock songs?
Well, it's more in the beat than the melody. I might do anything for a Schoolhouse Rock song, but it's more apt to be a pop kind of beat instead of a jazz beat. I will tell you about Figure 8. It was a beautiful little melody, sounds like a sonata almost. And I used to play it around my house, and And my late wife said, "What is that melody?" And I said, "Oh, I was thinking maybe it'd be a song about eight. And she said, "Oh, no, it's too good for Schoolhouse Rock." And I said, "Yeah, you're right." And I wrote a different one, and they didn't like it. So in a bit of desperation, I decided to finish it, and I wrote Figure Eight. And it starts out with this very placid melody. In the middle, it goes into a rock beat where they multiply by eight. But the outside was very dreamy. In fact, we recorded it with a cellist.
Would you sing a few lines of Figure Eight for us?
Figure Eight, that's double four. Figure Four, that's half of eight. If you skate, you will be great when you can make a figure eight. That's a circle that turns round upon itself.
When you were first getting started musically, I mean, you were really deep into Charlie Parker and wanted to emulate him. And you didn't sing very much because you were afraid that singing would seem corny or too commercial, too showbiz. And so it wasn't until I think you got to Paris in the 50s for a little bit that you actually started singing a lot.
Deep down in my heart, I did want to sing, and I didn't do it as much because I also wanted to be a bebop piano player. And you know, I would never say to one of my colleagues, "Let me sing one." On the other hand, there were occasions where the band got a job and the boss would say, "Does anybody in the band sing?" And, you know, they'd say, "Yeah, the piano players." And, you know, I would do Route 66 or some rhythm tune just to show them that somebody in the band could sing. It was on the Paris job at the Mars Club in Paris that I had full sway and was able to call my own shots. I was the boss. I was working alone mostly, but I would call up the songs I wanted to sing, and I developed my style or my act sort of there.
The late Bob Durop speaking with Terry Gross in 1996. Earlier in today's show, we heard a concert performance recorded in 1982 at the Fresh Air Studio. Here's how that session ended.
Bob Durop, I've had such a great time during this hour. It's
so bad, Terry.
It's really wonderful just sit and hear you play. It's great. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm really glad that you were able to play some of your music for us today.
I don't know a better way to say goodbye. Better than cream cheese and bagels, it's better than honey and bread. It's better than champagne and pretzels, it's better than breakfast in bed. It's better than chili rellenos, it's better than chocolate eclairs. It's better than hot house tomatoes. It's better than fresh Bartlett pears. Better than dining a la carte or sampling gastronomic art. Better than anything except being in love. It's better than making a million. It's better than being a king. It's better than oil wells or gold mines. It's better than pastures of green. It's better than finding a horseshoe. Better than losing your head. It's better than anything ever thought of. It's better than anything ever said. Better than singing right out loud or being spotted in a crowd. Better than anything except being in love. It's better than Dizzy or Yardbird. It's better than Coltrane or Monk. It's better than Jelly Roll Morton. Better than Bolden or Bunk. It's better than President Lester. Better than Count, Duke or Earl. It's better than Billy or Ella. It's better than Sarah or Pearl. Better than grooving high with bags or playing those old Scott Joplin rags. Better than anything except being in love. It's better than elephants dancing, yeah. It's better than clowns on parade. It's better than peanuts and popcorn. It's better than pink lemonade. It's better than rides on the subway. It's better than seals blowing horns. It's better than men shot from cannon. It's better than fresh ears of corn. Better than balancing on
wire. Are watching tigers jump through fire. Better than anything except being in love. It's better than driving around the park or watching fireflies after dark. Better than anything except being in love.
Bob Duro from a 1982 live radio concert. Duro died last Monday. He was 94. We send our condolences to his family and friends. His performance was recorded by Joyce Lieberman.